This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Hi, Jason Gipps, Joy Production Manager. It's Radiothon time. We still need Joy and we need your support. If you appreciate our free podcast service, our voice for the LGBTI community globally, and the volunteers that make our service possible, please sign up, renew your Joy membership, or make a tax-deductible donation before June 30 to keep our service possible. You may win a prize. Head to joy.org.au and click on either the Become a Member or Donate tabs to support us. If you appreciate our podcast service, let us know in the comments section when making your donation. Joy Podcasts, where you want them, when you want them, at joy.org.au and on iTunes.
Hey, this is Tim from Hide and Seek. This podcast is brought to you by Choosewell Health Insurance. While some things in life improve with time, it's unlikely your health insurance policy will. Choosewell compare hundreds of policy options to find the best health insurance for you at the right price. Don't spend hours researching and making confusing phone calls that leave you lost in the fine print. Hide and Seek listeners are being offered a special deal. Find a new healthcare policy with Choosewell to receive a free Joy membership, giving you benefits and rewards from Joy all year round. Stop paying for outdated cover and contact us today. Choose well. Make the switch today. joy.choosewell.com.au.
As we go along, let us study the male anatomy. Most men know less about their own bodies than they do about their automobiles.
The following feature has been rated R.
Don't panic.
This program contains coarse language.
It is recommended for people aged 15 years and over.
Are you ready? Sit back, turn up the volume, and enjoy our show.
Welcome.
Hide and seek.
Oh, and it's great to be with you. Good evening and welcome to Hide and Seek, your show for exploring sex, sexuality and self. And a very good evening to Benny B.
Hello, Dean. How are you this week?
I'm great now that we're here. Yes, lovely. Been busy? And what have you been doing?
I've actually been living on the edge this week. I tell
what
you why. Somebody stole my keys to my apartment. And my security fobs, I've just been like waiting for a intruder or something.
How much has that cost you?
Well, I haven't got around to changing the locks yet.
Oh, right.
I'm waiting for payday, which is a few days away still.
Didn't take your car keys?
No.
Just one of those car keys can cost like $450 or something.
So I'm carrying around all my valuable possessions in a backpack because I don't want to leave it at home.
So if you're
listening to this,
they all fit into a backpack, your valuable possessions?
Yeah, look.
Homeless Benny B.
That's me.
Because he can't get in. Smash the window. Do that.
I live on the 8th floor.
Hey, tonight... Okay. That's difficult.
I'm not afraid of heights. I'm bad at climbing.
Anyway,
what about you?
Tonight, we're going to be talking about leadership and particularly people who have HIV.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to be talking about the Positive Leadership Development Institute.
Excellent.
It's been a lot of work going on in the background. Mm-hmm. They spit out some pretty amazing people, actually.
Mm-hmm. We have
myself among them. And we've got two very amazing people joining us.
We do. They've brought notes.
They've brought notes.
They're well prepared.
Right.
Should be a good chat.
That'll be showing us up. Now, if you like Hide and Seek, we would love energy if you're listening on this podcast as we speak. Please make sure that you subscribe to us. And also, if you're on iTunes, give us a 5-star rating. We don't want a 4-star rating.
No.
Or a 3-star rating.
Mm-mm.
And if you think we're shit, forget it. But if you like us and it's a 5-star rating, please put it on iTunes and others will be able to find us. That's how that works.
Excellent. Do it.
We have for our news segment tonight
something different.
Yes, something different. So this is something different.
It's possibly the most important survey you could do if you are HIV positive. It's possible that it might be the most boring survey you'll do too. But we'll find out about that when Dr. Graham Brown, Senior Research Fellow for the Arches Centre here in Melbourne, joins us. Graham, welcome.
Thank you.
Quality of life. That's a bit of airy-fairy. What does that mean?
It's certainly a very big concept, but it's a term of what we're really talking about is looking at, the quality of the lives of people with HIV beyond treatment, so beyond just achieving undetectable viral load or good health outcomes on a very clinical measure. What we're looking at is how well are people with HIV in Australia thriving, how well are they resisting and overcoming stigma, how well are they accommodating and basically reaching their full potential. And that's a big part of what a lot of our community programs and health programs are trying to achieve. But it's really hard to work out if they're actually achieving that.
So there's no real scale or no test to say whether this is doing what it needs to be doing or doing it well?
Yeah, so there are a number of scales. So there are, for example, quality of life scales at a very general level for the general population that have been developed in research. And by scales, we mean a set of questions that together give a good insight, a good indication of someone's quality of life compared to other people. And there are some generic scales. There also are some scales for people living with HIV. But most of these scales are about 40 or more questions. They're long and they're pretty cumbersome.
And so this one is too, but your ultimate aim is to get it to be short and sharp.
It is indeed. So what we're looking for is trying to get kind of the 10 or 12 key questions so that when community organisations, workshops, programs, campaigns, things like that, when people are, say, filling in the evaluation survey, there's only 10 or 12 questions, not 40 or 50 questions. And if we do that, then we're going to get a lot more participation from people with HIV and get a lot deeper understanding of what's actually happening for our community.
Hopefully that'll mean we get a lot better programs for positive people that have greater impact too.
That's the idea, because at the moment, what we've got is because most of the validated scales are really designed for big research studies, what happens is they're just not practical for most programs in day-to-day evaluation. And so what happens is programs actually don't get particularly well evaluated.
And they miss the mark.
Yep, so we don't know if the programs are good, if they're not, which ones are the better ones, which ones we need to expand. It makes it really difficult. We get a lot of really good anecdotal feedback about programs that are or aren't working and things like that. But that doesn't really give you a broader sense of how it's going for everybody.
Your research in this area has the potential to transform the way the HIV sector is experienced by positive people.
Absolutely. If we can get a better sense of this, then what we're actually looking at is not only being able to get better insight of what programs are working and making them better, but we'll actually be able to get a lot more people with HIV actually participating in that evaluation, and so we'll get a much better thing happening. We think that will actually change. One of the big challenges we have a lot of our community programs, whether they're funded or not, is that it's really hard for them to demonstrate the impact they're having. If we can't demonstrate that, it's really hard to, on two fronts. One, it's hard to get or sustain funding, but it's also hard to demonstrate to our communities which are the best programs and which are the ones we as a community really want to support.
It is very important. It is literally valuing the quality of life among positive people in this country. Dr. Graham Brown, how can we help you? You need 300 to 400 people for this survey, and you need them pretty quick.
We do. So the website is POSQOL, POSQOL for quality of life, .org.au. And if you go to that one, if you're a person living with HIV in Australia, we'd really like to fill in a survey. Now, need to warn everyone, the survey is longer than 12 questions. What we're doing is trying to get basically a whole range of questions in there to work out what's going to be the most effective ones. So there's a lot of questions in the survey to be able to then, through analysis, shrink it down to the 12 best ones.
You get all the exciting jobs, don't you?
Yeah, totally. But we're also hoping, we've had huge support from the Positive Community Australia and the studies like HIV Futures and a lot of other studies. What we're hoping to also do is this. If we can get these 12 sort of almost magic questions, then we could almost halve the size of other larger studies. Like HIV Futures is a big study, and we could really shrink the size of that if we can get down to the key questions we really need to be asking.
It's posqol.org.au. That's POSQOL. QOL.org.au. Dr. Graham Brown, Senior Research Fellow for Arches. Thank you very much for joining us today on Hide and Seek.
Beck and Benny B with you on the show where we explore sex, sexuality and self. And tonight we'll be exploring what the Positive Leadership Development Institute has been up to. Now, Ben, this has been running for a couple of years mm-hmm. and it has produced some pretty amazing results mm-hmm. from some, well, extraordinary people in their own little way. Two of them are here today, Craig Burnett and Adam Eam. Welcome to you both.
Hello, thank you for having me.
Thank you.
Adam, especially a warm welcome to you because you're new in this town and you're throwing your weight around in this way. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Tell us a bit about your background. You're from WA.
Originally from Brisbane.
Oh, I'm sorry.
And the last year I was working for the WA AIDS Council.
How was that?
Yeah, it was very good. It was a learning curve, entering the HIV sector and two roles in gay men's health, and also as part of the clinical services
team. WA's had a very interesting trajectory in its HIV response. In fact, more recently, it's had a rather change of demographic, so to speak, with more heterosexual people.
Yeah, I guess in terms of proximity, it's quite close to Southeast Asia. And you tend to find that there's a lot of immigrants that arrive that are needing support. So, there's more transmission among heterosexuals.
Fly in, fly out, Benny.
Fly in, fly out.
I'll tell you what, they're flying right out. That's what's going on. And Craig, you have been, you spent a time on the board of VAC.
Yep.
And now you're helping to do what with PLDI?
Activate people within
Yeah, what does that
great
mean?
Word.
Can I be activated?
Yes.
I'd love that.
Activate some people in the positive community to take a more involved participation in what's happening with the positive community.
Because we know that there are around 27,000 to 30,000 people living with HIV in this country, and yet not all of them are members of organisations like Living Positive and others.
Yeah, correct.
In fact, not all of them engage.
Indeed. And we have that old saying that if you're not at the table, you're on the menu. So we're trying to be at the table.
Gobble, gobble. What does that mean? If you're not, yeah, all right.
Yep.
Think about that. So PLDI has been sort of taking, I guess, people that have been tapped on the shoulder in a way to sort of find out what leader they are or there is within them, if there is one within them, and to try and foster that.
Yeah, definitely. It's less of a tap on the shoulder and more of a open to everyone, but we definitely do stress that the PLDI course is not meant for everyone who is living with HIV. It is to develop leadership within yourself. And if you want to take a leadership role, then we definitely recommend that you do it. But if you're looking for things like dealing with diagnoses or any other kind of day-to-day things of living with HIV, we have other workshops that are more suited
for that.
It's
not a stage one entry-level
no.
thing, is it?
Yeah.
Okay. It's more about what to do next, I guess, in some way. And yeah, leadership takes different forms.
Exactly. And how can you contribute into the community and put your own flavour into what's happening?
And I suppose for a lot of the guys that take part in this, it must be a healing thing. It must be helpful to sort of stand up and...
There's a bit of that.
Yeah.
But the interesting thing with PLDI courses is it's not just guys.
Okay, yep.
In fact, the courses are designed specifically around that, aren't they?
Yeah, they're diversity quotas that we try to meet with every single... And it's not that we have to meet them. We have enough people from diverse backgrounds applying that it's not a problem for us to meet those kind of things. But when I did my course, I think the thing that I found most insightful and rewarding was getting to know what living with HIV means for other people, being a woman living with HIV and what it's like to think about family and
there's
raising
like
children
young people that have been living with HIV for a long time, like Craig, and then old farts like me who've only had it recently. And so that mix throws a whole new dynamic in it as well. Adam, what did you get out of doing the course yourself?
It was a focus on leadership, but it was also a chance to be able to connect, as Craig said, with the diverse range of people living with HIV and to hear those perspectives, which you don't always get the chance. So it's across Australia and New Zealand, and it sort of puts things into perspective and sort of makes you fortunate for the position that you're in and that you have access to treatment, whereas other people, their journey has been slightly different.
Were you working in the sector when you did the course?
Yeah, so I did it last year and I was working at the AIDS Council. And yeah, it was an eye-opener. It was a good way to be able to connect with others and to hear those perspectives.
You mentioned before, Craig, about slacktivism.
Yes, I did.
This is a
tell us about
putting a rocket up some of us.
Slacktivism.
One of the things that I personally am trying to do with a lot of, some of the other PLDI alumni in Victoria is to reach out to some of the younger people living with HIV, and not necessarily just younger, but even newly diagnosed, anyone who may not have a strong connection to the positive community, and try to make them more aware of the fact that a lot of the orgs, the positive orgs, membership run, the board of VAC is voted in by the members, and it's important to know that and to understand it. And if you want to have a say in what happens with these organisations that in some way represent you or provide you services, then it's important to become a member, and become a member at the right time so that you can actually vote in the next AGM.
But it's more than that. I mean, it's these organisations exist for their members. But if they have declining membership, the chance of them continuing to be funded long term becomes harder and harder.
Yeah, and then
so you might not need them now, but you might want them in 10 years,
yeah,
and you don't even know that yet. So you want them to be around. So yeah, being a member costs you nothing, but yep, it means you're engaged and connected. And what we do know is that people who have HIV that are connected to community actually live longer, healthier, and better lives.
Yeah.
Yep.
It's pretty compelling, really. So pull your finger out, and if you're positive, become a member of VAC and Living Positive. They're straight up. Yep. Or your local, yep, if you're living elsewhere.
Or Positive Women as well.
Or Positive Women.
Appropriate for you.
Indeed. And just get their newsletters. Be a member. Find out what they're up to, and you'll be connected to those who can help if and when you need it.
And be supportive.
And support. Yeah.
For the newly diagnosed, what is it that they need from these community groups? Is there...
Ooh.
Hugs.
Hugs?
Yeah, a lot of that.
I think it's really important, like Dean said, to connect. I think a lot of people go into downward spirals and depressive modes, and that kind of stuff really breaks down when you have empathy. And so reaching out to other people who are in similar situations really helps them to understand that they're not alone, that this isn't the end of the world, that it is manageable, and that they can live relatively normal and healthy lives.
We have a man here who has worked for one of these organisations who could probably give us a definitive answer to that. I think that the engagement would be from people when they're newly diagnosed or later when there are issues.
Yeah, it can be anywhere along the spectrum, and some people have issues with their relationship, for instance, or maybe it's around disclosure that they've had some concerns with, or it might even be to do with their visas. And so they come to go and get some information and support, and it might also be a good opportunity to know what kind of social events are coming up, and you can go and link them into TIM and other social events with the various orgs, and or different workshops that might be available to them, such as Phoenix here in Melbourne.
But it's more than that too. I mean, the whole response to HIV is changing so rapidly. I mean, in the last 5 years, we've seen a dramatic change in this country's response to HIV that, you know, keeping abreast of some of this stuff is really important. I was having a chat to a mate of mine who's positive, who was diagnosed around the same time as me, and he is in a serodiscordant relationship. And I told him about the benefits of treatment as prevention and what that means to their relationship. And he burst into tears. He had no idea.
Yeah, and there are a lot of my friends who understand the science behind things like treatment as prevention, but still don't trust it.
Sure.
And they're scared, and they're scared of passing the virus on to other people. And it's, so, you know, things
58,
like
58,000 fucks and not one case of seroconversion is pretty compelling.
It's pretty compelling.
Mm.
And it's always the case when you're a positive person and you're reinforcing the research and benefits of treatment as prevention, it's almost like there's some level of distrust. Whereas if it's reinforced by peers at a peer-based testing centre or doctors and clinicians, then it's another, you know, tick to say, well, maybe this is real. I can believe this.
And also breaking down the stigma, because, you know, those kind of responses are emotional, and you know, it's like there are five lobes to your brain, but only one of them deals with reason and logic. It's not exactly how the brain works, but, you know, people are a lot likely to react to something emotively and not necessarily, even if they do understand the facts, to bring that on board.
But you spend the rest of your life staring at the stars. I mean...
Well, I'm staring at one right now.
From one lunatic to another. Now, we're not talking about PLDR. What have we seen in so far as alumni, graduates? Is there a ledger of what has been achieved post doing this course? Is there some sort of...
Not a formal ledger, but we do have, obviously, documentation of people that have done things. Ruan organised a Camino last year where a group of them walked from Portland in Victoria to Panola in South Australia, which is about 200 kilometres in 8 days, I think they were able to achieve, and that was to show that people living with HIV are still capable.
Yes, that was a tremendous effort by Ruan.
We had them on the show as well.
Yeah, well, I mean, it happened at the time when he actually got quite crook afterwards, but that was unrelated. I think the Camino, which is going to be happening again, is that right?
Yeah, I think he has another instalment where he's running to Brisbane. Adam, you work with Ryan on Hipsters. Do you have?
I've just connected, so sure. I'm not sure exactly what's, but there'll definitely be things up and coming. So, yeah, Hipsters is the place to go for that.
And there's the networking, social element of Hipsters is fantastic as well. But there are other things that PLDI alumni are doing. My Little Series.
InsideHIV.net.
InsideHIV is a tremendous resource for people, and it gives updates and stories and tells, you know, helps build resilience. That's what it's all about. But what else is going on?
I'd like to give a special shout out to Craig Brennan, who has recently taken on board creating a calendar for all positive organisations and communities to make sure that no one's treading on each other's toes. And, you know, Craig Brennan is the other half of the infamous hashtag Team Craig, and he's doing a fantastic job with aligning everyone.
Clearly that means something to some people.
He just did a thing. He just
hashtag. Right. I'm not familiar with that.
You can't see it, but it's...
But tell me about hashtag Team Craig and where can we find this calendar?
The calendar, I don't think, has been made public yet. It's been given out to all the orgs.
It's no good if we don't know about it.
Yet. It's still a work in progress. We're getting it populated and organising all of the events to make sure that things like Next Gen Guys and, you know, VAC and LPV and Positive Women and Hipsters and Tim and all of those other organisations that host events aren't, like, scheduling everything on the one day.
Yeah, there's been a bit of that. We'll continue to find out more about what is happening in the leadership space for positive people right after this on Hide and Seek.
Hide and Seek.
Fireball.
This is Hide and Seek here on Joy 94.9. I'm Benny B. Dean Beck is with me in the studio tonight, as well as Adam and Craig from PLDI.
Hello.
Hello.
Hey, guys. So, we're talking about the PLDI events. Now, how many of these happen every year?
So, there are roughly four PLDI workshops that run each year. We've already had the Victorian one. And the Brisbane one is coming up in a couple of weeks. And then there's a New South Wales one and South Australia.
Don't people fly in from everywhere, though?
Yeah.
Isn't that part of the deal?
The workshop is set up so that half the people in the workshop are local and half the people are from another state.
And there was even a New Zealand one at some stage.
I did the inaugural New Zealand one in 2015. At the end of 2015, which was really lovely to see, and it's great to still see the work coming out from those people in New Zealand.
It's such a mix, each one of these. Is it 12 people in a group?
Yeah.
Such a mix of backgrounds, and it really does give you a much more rounded picture as to what HIV is like for others, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, everybody has their own individual experience of living with HIV, and it's really good to listen and understand where other people come from and what's important to them. And I think one of the things that's really important about being a leader in the positive community is not only thinking about the issues that are important to you, but the issues that are important to other people and things that you need to do to cater for them.
Adam, there's a historical component to all of this as well, and understanding some of that history and timeline is, I think, important to put into the picture.
Of course it is, because I guess when you reflect back on the struggles that people had and the fact that they fought to get medication and many of them died without it, it sort of puts things into perspective, and you realise that in this day and age we're extremely lucky to be here in Australia. You only have to sort of go to, say, conferences like last year, both of us were in Durban, and you understand that it's vastly different elsewhere where they're fighting for their rights and fighting for access to treatment. So, yeah, we're incredibly fortunate to be here.
I was at the International Congress of Immunology last year too, and it was fascinating to find out how much HIV has delivered to the rest of society insofar as advancements, and we were talking about ethics in research off mic, and those sorts of things that benefit everybody have come out of some of the struggles that HIV has gained.
Yeah.
You could elaborate further, Craig, but stuff you, don't bother. Now, what is coming up for PLDI? There's a big function where you want some of the alumni to come along.
Yeah, on Tuesday, we're meeting at Bell's Hotel in South Melbourne.
This Tuesday coming.
Oh, okay. Yep. We want to hear what some of the other PLDI people have thought of, would like to see, though, see what they would like to put their hand up for, because just because you have an idea doesn't mean that you want to spearhead it, and that is absolutely fine. So we're looking to see where the PLDI alumni in Victoria are at the moment.
Other than a good networking opportunity, it will be great to catch up with some of these people. Now, Adam, What are you doing in this space? Because you still work in this space, don't you?
Yeah, at the moment I'm doing LGBTI inclusivity, so it's a slight step sideways, I guess, to work in the HIV sector.
That has health outcomes.
Yeah. Well, a lot of us fit within the LGBTI community, but aside from that, I'm still active. I'll be doing the VAC induction volunteer training tomorrow evening, and then LPV I'm looking at continuing some of the various activities and that through them.
Does it all get a bit, if you volunteer in this space and you work in this sort of space, does that all get a bit too much?
Yeah, not too much. People just talk about needing to wear hats, and you need to choose the right hat, and hopefully they don't all, you know, fall off your head at the same time, so you're left with at least one. So those borders are a little bit fine sometimes, and you walk the tightrope, and sometimes you fall off, but hopefully you catch it.
Right. fine analogy. Let's run with that.
Yeah.
I've always said AIDS needs more bling, so I'm going to put a sequin hat on. Craig, your work in doing board stuff for VAC, was that came after your PLDI?
It was about the same time when I had shown interest in going on the board of VAC. I was.
Why did you do that?
That was a very good question.
You're not on it. You can say whatever you like.
I was tapped on the shoulder to step up onto the board, and I felt like for me it was a natural progression and fitted well with where I saw my life going towards.
And what did you get out of that experience? Because board stuff is tough stuff.
Yeah.
And boring stuff.
Actually, I really love it.
That's nice, dear.
I personally went through all of the available minutes of all of the board meetings, one by one, and read up on them. And
wow, you're one of those
I'm
guys.
One of those crazy people. Right. I love those kind of those kind of things. It was really good to see and be involved in what happens on like the other side of almost like protecting the organization from a legal point of view and from a financial point of view, and things that we have to look out for in the stuff that we do to make sure that we're not caught unawares.
It's one of the most sort of, I guess, important boards for our communities.
Yeah, it is. I think all the boards are really important, but VAC currently is the one that gets the most money.
And it's always been important in its HIV response, but it's shifting to a more inclusive LGBTI framework means that, you know, you're going to need more diversity on that board as well, I would imagine.
Yeah, definitely. I would love to see more women on the board and a more diverse board at VAC and in any of the boards, really. But, yeah, I think they're doing quite well. I used to take care of their diversity matrix, and they're actually hitting quite a few quotas.
Can you share some of that, or was that confidential?
I'm not sure I can give you figures, but I was looking at the...
Is that about reach, or what is it about?
It's about representation on the board and making sure that the people who are making decisions for a community-run organisation actually kind of represent the community that they're working for. Yeah.
Hmm. Something in that for all of us, Benny.
Hmm.
Now, Adam, your time here in Melbourne has just been brief. How's it been going for you so far?
Oh, it's great. So I've arrived, settled in. There's so much happening. There's different events. Queer Film Festival and Comedy Festival now. So it's all happening.
You've thrown yourself into this city. Like, you've arrived and 5 minutes later you're doing everything. I think it's very impressive.
Yes. Have you always been so community involved?
No.
No?
And I think now, sort of, post-diagnosis mm-hmm. is the time where I've sort of become a bit more focused, I guess, and mm-hmm. I see that the meaningful engagement, I guess, of people living with HIV is more important. So I think that I've changed a little bit in recent years for the better.
How long ago was your diagnosis?
2014. So not too long ago, but it was enough for me to be able to think, okay, what can I do? How am I going to change? And how can I make things better for others?
So then to work for WA AIDS Council pretty much straight after that,
yeah.
Was that just a synergy or was it...
No, it was, yeah, I was calculated with what I did, so I did...
Not meaning that you got diagnosed positive just so you could work.
No.
That's not
I didn't go out
say.
Of my way, no, no right, not
diagnosed
not quite.
And ended up in Perth.
No.
Yeah, well...
Sorry, I'm from Perth, I can say what I like.
It wasn't exactly the choice destination, but it was a good place to be and a great place to sort of learn a fair bit about the sector and the way it
it's
works.
I would say that would be a tough place to... work.
Agree with you there.
Yeah, it's particularly hard, I think, in Perth with the lack of a positive org. So you've only got one organisation representing everyone's interests. So you do get some conflicting views. There's a lot of history there. It's quite conservative in mentality. And the interplay there between those sort of factors makes it quite difficult to sort of
welcome
navigate. That's why I'm in Melbourne.
Recollection of that being in Perth is all that you know about the positive community and the AIDS Council and stuff there is free condoms. That's it.
They're big on condoms.
That's all you see of that community. It's just
right.
Different sizes.
There are some different sizes.
It's important. It's important. Getting the right fit is very important. We should remind everybody of that because if it's not the right fit, then it's not good. No, it's not. That aside, it's not the only form of protection. Now, the response in WA, were you... how long were you in that job?
Only all of last year, so only the year. But during that time, there was a lot of...
You were in charge of handing out the condoms, weren't you?
No, not quite. We did organise, some of the safe sex distribution and stuff, but...
Can I ask...
handing out condoms.
Do they even have rapid testing yet?
Yeah, they do. So through M Clinic, the peer-based STI testing centre, rapid is an option for people. M Clinic,
the guys... that?
The guys there are doing fantastic.
Can you believe that?
Don't get me started on rapid testing. It is one of my bugbears. It took us a decade to get that bloody thing, and we still don't have home testing.
Well, one of the things that I want to get sorted personally that I want to do this year is to become a rapid tester so I can go to swingers nights and sex on premise venues so that we can reach a whole heap of MSM who aren't necessarily connected into HIV literature to make them more aware.
Fantastic. I'm not quite sure that you'll be welcome at the swingers' nights uninvited with your rapid test. Maybe you might want to invite them to the clinic and just say hello.
Participatory is fine.
And your reason for going to saunas is purely personal, I'm sure. This is Hide and Seek on Joy 94.9. Ready or not, here I come. Stop it! show for exploring sex, sexuality and self. Tonight we're talking about the Positive Leadership Development Institute. There is a big meeting coming up this Tuesday for those who have done it. For those that haven't done it, and if you are positive, Craig Burnett, what is the website that they can check that out?
PLDI...
Australia.org.au. Just checking. Now, also with us is Adam Eames. Did I get that right?
Eames.
A import from Brisbane via Perth.
Yeah, exactly.
And pleased to be here, I believe.
Yeah, definitely.
Now, Craig, what else is happening in the sector that you're aware of? Because you've got your finger on the pulse.
One of the things that I wanted to plug is yarn bombing for World AIDS Day.
Yeah, tell us about this.
So the idea is to knit and crochet.
Listen carefully, knit and crochet.
Yes, and if you know how to do that, let us know. If you don't, I can teach you.
There's only one colour of wool.
How many people know how to do that?
I do. I teach it. It's really? Part of it's a job of mine, yes.
You knit one pearl too.
Knitting. Okay.
And we're going to create a whole heap of red scarves and put them around the statues for World AIDS Day to create awareness. And after the week, because it's really World AIDS Week, we're going to take down the scarves and donate them to the homeless.
My ex's husband, who is a genius.
Your ex's husband is a genius. Yeah. Yep. Following.
Decided to take up knitting as a hobby.
Yep.
And then went about finding the most complex patterns, right, with the most variables and everything, and taught himself the whole bloody thing and is amazing.
Yeah. Jared Lester, who has one of the most fantastic artistic minds I've ever seen, is helping with this project as well.
It's quite mathematical.
It can be. Yeah. It can be quite creative, but you can come at it from many different ways. It's very cathartic.
Now, can we sit around and gossip while we do it?
It's called a stitch and bitch.
Oh, cool.
What if you drop one? I mean, a stitch.
Oh, right, yeah. You just pick it back up.
Sounds simple enough.
I think I don't mind a bit of craft myself. And
you are very crafty.
I have been known to knit, but only a scarf. Is that what you're... That's all you're after?
Yeah, that's all we're after. Yeah.
How long?
As long as you want to make it.
These are big statues.
Yeah, some statues are 2.5 times like normal human size.
It's a blanket. So
basically, yeah. You can make an Afghan if you really want to.
How many statues do we have? Do we know?
Yeah, I went around and catalogued the ones that I wanted to see in the Melbourne CBD, and there was about 32.
Did you get those ones out the front of Parliament? Out the front of government... Parliament
Treasury?
Yeah.
I did.
Good. They all need one.
Yes, they do.
I can make you a nice macaroni necklace. Have How about that?
Oh.
That would be great.
I'll paint it red.
Do it red,
I'll paint it red.
Okay. They're for the mini statues. Why are you doing this?
Why not?
Okay.
Well, actually, the reason why we're doing this is because... Sydney do all of these really extravagant, showy things for World AIDS Day. And you know what? Melbourne can too.
Well, that idea we had on the bridge was great for a couple of years. What happened to that? Where's all that gone?
I don't know.
Yeah. Cost $65,000 to store those letters for 12 months. Wow. Let's not go there. Now, so you want knitters? Just knitters?
Knitters,
or
crochets.
Do you need red wool?
Yeah, we're trying to source some from some of the yarn stores around Melbourne who are generously, hopefully, going to donate it to us at cost price or for free. We'll see what we can negotiate.
I reckon there's a certain haberdashery place that might be able to help with that.
Sounds fantastic. We're also planning to run workshops through the Positive Living Centre to teach people how to knit and crochet if they want to learn. I'm happy to run a few classes to develop some post-apocalyptic skills.
I'm excited by this.
Winter is coming.
I tell you what. But World AIDS Day is in the middle of summer.
Oh.
Shh, don't tell anyone. But what happens to the scarves after this event that happens once?
Yeah, we're going to donate them to the homeless.
Every homeless person in the city is going to be wearing a red scarf. In the middle of summer.
Hope so.
Okay. At least we'll continue to spread the message.
Yes.
That's good. I love it. Well, that is one project that you are coordinating, is that right?
Jared and I are coordinating it, yep.
The knitters.
Yep.
The positive knitters.
Stitch and bitch.
Knit one, pearl two, don't drop a stitch. Yeah. I love it. What else is happening? Do we know anything out there?
I think we've gone through most of them. Have you heard of anything, Adam?
No, not really. So I'm hoping that when we actually meet a lot of the PLDI alumni, we'll be able to talk about some different things, possibly collaborating with researchers and things like that, so, or engaging some of those young guys that you spoke about. So
we're also happy to take advice from the community. If there are people who want to see things actioned but feel like they don't necessarily have the skills or the capability, please email PLDI and send through your thoughts, and we're happy to try and do our best to organise something.
PLDIAustralia.org.au is the website. Yep. There's a function this Tuesday night which you want the alumni to come along to.
Yep.
I'll be there.
I hope so.
And that's all good stuff.
Thank you.
Also, a reminder that there's 4 new episodes of Inside HIV at InsideHIV.net. and 2 of them are on HIV and ageing. So for people like me, that's fantastic. Thank you very much, Craig Bennett. Thank you, Adam Ean. Welcome to Melbourne.
Thank you. Thank you for having us on the show.
Benny Bay and Dean Beck with you on Hide and Seek.
The Junction is a place for lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender, intersex, queer and questioning young people and their friends to get together and talk about spirituality, sexuality and self in a safe place.
Join The Junction on the first Sunday of every month from 3 to 5pm at 174 Collins Street in Melbourne. Come and hang out at the Veranda Cafe for an afternoon of music, coffee and making friends.
Oh yeah, and it's free.
For more information, visit csbc.org.au/The Junction or join The Junction on Facebook.
Joy 94.9 are proud to support this community message.
So, why don't we just fight?
Hide and seek.
Coming up next on Joy 94.9, the amazing Declan with Indie Heads, the perfect show for a head job. That's next on Joy. And Benny B, a reminder, there's a survey we want people to fill out.
That's exactly right. And
yeah.
Where do you find it, Dean?
You can find the Quality of Life for Positive People survey. It's called Valuing Quality of Life Amongst People Living with HIV. It's available at posqual, P-O-Z-Q-O-L, qualityoflife.org.au. And
excellent.
Do that ASAP, because they need some 300 or 400 people to do that to make it valuable and valid. And if you want to find out more information about what we were talking about tonight, the Positive Leadership Development Institute is at pldiaustralia.org.au.
That's correct.
That's it from us.
That's it.
Good night, Benny B.
Good night, Dean Beck.
I'm Dean Beck. Till next time, keep well, take care, bye-bye.
Hey, this is Tim from Hide and Seek. This podcast is brought to you by Choosewell Health Insurance. While some things in life improve with time, it's unlikely your health insurance policy will. Choosewell. Compare hundreds of policy options to find the best health insurance for you at the right price. Don't spend hours researching and making confusing phone calls that leave you lost in the fine print. Hide and Seek listeners are being offered a special deal. Find a new healthcare policy with Choosewell to receive a free Joy membership, giving you benefits and rewards from Joy all year round. Stop paying for outdated cover and contact us today. Choose well. Make the switch today. joy.choosewell.com.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.